This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Oftentimes when we check in, we're afraid of learning something we don't want to hear, you know, because we like to think that once we're in a relationship and we say the words, I love you, that somehow those words are going to make us work. It's going to be us saying those words. It's going to somehow carry us through whatever conflict or challenges we have. And because we said, I love you way back when 5 years ago, that's all we really need to do. But the truth is we always have to like check in with each other.
Okay. Now I have a little chill down my spine.
We're going to clench the butt cheeks. Let
okay,
it go.
One, two.
Clench, let it go. Clench, let it go. It's like inhales, exhales for your butt. Okay. Was that weird?
Yeah, was it a little weird? It was a little weird. I
should
like
we
that,
not
though.
Should we keep it? Okay.
Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, whatever.
Here Hello.
Hi, you guys. Oh, my God.
I have two words. Nick Vile. Are you kidding me? Is this day real?
I can't believe this is happening, but here we are.
On the 101st. Wait. Is that how you'd say it? 101st episode?
101.
101th. I did
101th.
TH on the end of it. On the 101st episode, I cannot believe it. This is freaking exciting, dude. I'm hyped.
And yeah, honestly, my straight kid moment is just a part of this episode because.
Is it?
Well, on my way here, I was like, lately I've been a little bit like stressed. Like there's a lot fucking happening this week.
Oh God,
with straight candid, like literally it's been a full-time job for us, but we love it. Wouldn't change it.
Just a lot going on.
Yeah, just a lot happening. So lately I've been listening to, wait for it, anxiety frequencies. Do you know what these are?
No.
I was like, why is this so helpful? I'm like, fine. I was just trying to find chill music and I kept seeing this anxiety frequency pop up on my Spotify. So I click on it. I'm like, this is bullshit. And then all of a sudden I'm like, ooh.
What's the sound?
I'm like, wow, that feels good, bro. Okay, so I literally tried to research it a little bit on my drive. Not on my drive, sorry, when I parked in my car.
Lie, and, that was a lie.
And I've learned like you have like your brain stimulation, right? There's like two sides of your brain and you're supposed to listen to it with earphones in. So if you like click and you go to Spotify and you type in anxiety frequencies, there's usually one that's like, it's like they measure it in Hertz, HZ, and there's one that you click on, and apparently it like stimulates both sides of your brain at the same time, so it kind of like ends up making a different frequency wave in your brain. Don't know the signs. I literally probably just butchered that, but it's the same idea as doing butterfly taps, if you've ever heard of that for anxiety.
No.
So when you cross your arms, put it on your shoulders, and you tap left, then tap right, tap left, then tap right.
Gets your brain thinking too much.
It helps so much. So I'm like, it's the same idea as that because it's working both sides of the brain a little bit. So I'm like, literally on my drive here, I'm like blasting it. I'm like, okay,
what does it sound
stay
like
calm.
Though?
I mean,
can you use your mouth and tell me what it sounds like? Because I listen to white noise.
You want me to use my mouth?
What?
No, not like that. Okay, hold on.
What's going on? It's kind of like a meditation.
Yeah. It's like what you hear when you get a massage.
Did you guys ever do like the handbells in music class when you're in school?
Yes.
That's what it kind of reminds
Cowbells.
Me of.
You know what it reminds me of is one of those circle.
Different.
Listen, the circle like instruments, and you get to like go.
Oh yeah, that's better.
It's called something. It's
sound therapy.
Sound bath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you have a straight canon moment?
Okay. Yes.
And what is a straight canon moment?
A straight canon moment basically is something that makes you more human. It's either candid and hilarious, or it's embarrassing as hell, or it's just freaking straight up real, and you kind of like sit back and you're like, holy crap. I am human. This reminded me I'm not the best of the best. I'm just like everybody else. And
humbled.
We can laugh at it and we're humbled. So
like
that's a straight canon moment.
Like my pants right now.
Like your panties.
It's literally popping out like I got a little bony.
That's a little bony, isn't it? Yeah,
okay.
It's crazy. Okay, so my straight canon moment is a little more serious today, but not actually because I'm okay. I got freaking hit. Okay, I should give a little context.
What?
I got hit. Some bitch punched me. No, I'm just kidding. Somebody rear-ended me. I'm calling things by incorrect names today, and that was one of my pet peeves, so hypocrite. No, somebody rear-ended me so bad. She rear-ended somebody else, and then that person rear-ended me. So it was like a little, like, you know, carousel, whoop, one into the other, and it was scary. I have hit someone before in a car on accident. They were stopped on the highway, but this was like, I didn't see it coming. The person cut me off like right before, and my back hurts, and I was pissed, and I was on the side of the road, and
it was a hard hit too.
She was going like 70 miles an hour. Jeez. Coming down the road, didn't brake, and it's just like, all I gotta say is, whether she was distracted, whether she actually fell asleep, which is the argument she's trying to make, even though I honked at her 20 seconds prior, or whether she was on something and I hope that you can get help, you gotta pay the fuck attention. Like, it was a reminder, because I've been now passing people the last 3 days on the highway who are driving a little wacky, and they're on their phone.
I was just gonna say, you literally just called me out a little bit too.
But I've been I did it too.
I need to work on it. I usually change my Spotify and shit, but like, I need to stop even doing that.
Like, I know. And you know what I always do? This is so like, why am I going to this extreme? But I'm like, my grandma wouldn't want me texting and driving. Like, I go psychotic and I'm like, you know what? I need to stop. It's not worth it. Me sending a text of like, LOL. Yeah. Like, that's not worth it. So I just was like, it made me really realize. I mean, I wasn't at fault at all in the situation. I will say, dealing with insurance, holy bananas, that's annoying. Dude, so right. Anywho, but I also thought it was really weird. The woman didn't say sorry, like didn't ask if I was okay, didn't say sorry, didn't come over and say,
for you,
my bad. I know, I'm like, oh, okay. And I literally looked at the cop and I'm like, is she fucking drunk or something? Like, I was so, like, it went from a quick, like, oh, what the hell just happened, to me sobbing in the car and being like, why does this happen? And then I was like, are you fucking kidding me? It literally three emotional SIDS all in a matter of 30 seconds.
It's also kind of, it's a moment of the day where you're like, you're running from one thing to the next and you're like, oh, this just puts things into perspective. Like slow the fuck down, chill out, take a breath. Like, cause you were like ready to, you know, probably go to your next meeting or next thing or whatever. Yeah. And then that's just like, oh shit, I got to pull back. I got to realize, like, I'm lucky. I'm blessed. Like, I'm not blessed. Hurt. Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. I am very blessed.
I don't know why I said that.
Literally scary.
I'm so blessed.
Just blessed. But anyway, I mean, I'm totally okay. I'm lucky to be okay. The other person had to get pulled out of their car. They're okay. The middle lady was an old little grandma. She said she was okay, but still scary.
Oh, grandma.
Yeah, their cars were totaled. That's how icky it was. Ick. Yeah. So anywho, I'm all right, but just a real straight-cane moment. Like, it happens to us. Like, did I expect to get in a car accident this week when we have so much going on and thankfully I'm okay and lose my car? And I'm like, that was not expected, but we're here. We're moving along. We're doing the thing. And Nick Vile is coming on the podcast. What the bananas?
What the actual bananas?
And people, we've been putting in our story and they're like, how did this happen?
They go, how'd you pull this?
Did you guys DM him? And I'm like, let me tell you, honey.
Let's break it down.
We open our phone. We're shopping. We open our little straight candid chat.
Just browsing the racks,
checking
finding
it out.
Those cute sweaters. All of a sudden,
we see
ding dong.
Nick Vile sent you a direct message.
Screaming mid store. Everyone looking. Calm the fuck down. We're like, ah! And then we're like,
I'm like, what? That's not real. Is it fake? It's fake. Click on it. No, you click on it. I'm scared.
And then we're like, okay, let's play hard to get. Like, let's like wait a little bit. We're like, what are we gonna say? We like literally thought about it for 24 hours. But we're saying this in the intro because we're chill girls. We're cool girls.
We're playing it cool.
Like,
we're
this is no big deal. Like, we do this.
Doesn't matter.
We do this all the time.
Dude, it doesn't matter, dog. It does not matter. Literally. Oh my God. But literally, we got his book here, by the way. I was gonna tell you guys that. Don't text your ex. Happy birthday. Go check it out if you haven't already. We've got it on deck. Really quick, I was just gonna say, because I didn't realize until I was looking at his history with Bachelor, he's been on 3 seasons of regular Bachelor, 1 season of Bachelor Paradise. So he was the runner-up on the first season on The Bachelorette, yep. Then a second time the runner-up again on The Bachelorette, and then he went on Bachelor Paradise, and then he was The Bachelor on season 21.
Wow. Yeah. Holy crap.
Also, talk about being it in its prime time, because I think it kind of is falling off a little bit, if I have to say so myself.
I love Bachelor in Paradise. I think we should ask him, like, what could make Bachelor better? I feel like you'd have some opinions, because Bachelor in Paradise is where the juice is at, for sure.
Yeah.
But literally, Nick is actually very, very smart. Like, I am just shocked by his advice, like, and this is not just like, let's get a dude's perspective. Like, this guy actually has some knowledge and obviously knows how to date. And like, so if you had questions and you wrote in questions, we're going to answer all the questions and hear from Nick about all your dating cues.
Exactly.
So,
should we do it?
I guess so.
Fuck me
up.
Without
further ado, I'm scared. Here we go.
Rolling in, Nick Vile. Hello. Welcome to Straight Candid Podcast. We are so hyped, bro. We're happy to have you. How are you?
Good to be with you, ladies.
A fellow Midwesterner in the flesh, on the camera, in the house with a giant book behind him. If you haven't turned on your camera already, you guys, go check it out. He's got a big book behind him.
Yeah, I apologize for the mess. It's
been you do not need to apologize. You should see our studio behind the curtain here. You'd be like,
Tell us about that big book behind you, actually. Love to hear about it.
We gave it like a little intro, but we didn't give it justice.
It's just a poster.
Nope.
Yeah. But your book.
What is the book?
Oh, the book, Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday? Yeah. My loving girlfriend threw me a book release / birthday party. And so they had
I love that. Well, besides the poster, Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday, your book, the hot new thing, everybody's talking about it. Can I ask, like, what prompted you to write a book just real quick? Because I feel like I think I could write a book, and then I'd get two pages in, and I'd be like, whoa, that's enough.
Well, I didn't think I could write a book. It was the opposite. But I do this kind of weekly questions with Nick on my Instagram, which is like just relationship Q&A stuff. And then I wanted to do like a coffee table book, you know, so I went to like my editor and just thought I was going to be like something we, you know, you sell like, you know, Urban Outfitters, you know, and just be like the Q&As, things like that. But thankfully, my editor encouraged me to write the book, but I had definitely a lot of imposter syndrome because I'm dyslexic. I can barely read. I don't know where commas go. You know, I'm not a very good speller.
All the things.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, all those things. But I do, you know, have a lot going on in my brain. So I just started writing, and it was definitely an arduous experience, but something I'm definitely proud of just because I did it. You know, like even when I finished writing it, I didn't even know it was good. I was just like, it's done.
You're like, here's the finished product.
It turns out people seem to be enjoying it. But if writer's block is a real thing, if you want to write a book, just write. Don't worry about writing a great book. Just write pages and get a really, really, really rough draft going. And then once you have your rough draft, it's a lot easier to start going back and kind of fixing it. That's what I did. That's the advice I got. It really worked. It was so much easier. I mean, I wrote like probably 40 to 50% of the book after the first draft.
Sheesh. Holy crap. So, okay. So you cleaned it up a little bit. Well, title.
But yeah. You just kind of read it and you're just like, oh, it's missing this. I need to add that. But you just need to, like, when I started writing the book, I was like, I don't fucking know. You know, like, where should I start? You know? So.
Question for you. So have you texted your ex happy birthday? Like, what's the title about?
I certainly have. That's for sure.
Yeah, like I have too.
I have too.
And like, is this wrong? Help me.
I did it recently too, and I was like, that's shit. Like,
yeah, no. I mean, I haven't in a while. I mean, the title is really just about having a catchy title that's relatable to a lot of people, because I think a lot of people have at least thought of or desired to text their ex. So you did recently, you said?
I did, but this is the first time that I've texted him, I would say, like, happy birthday. I skipped, like, probably last year, and I didn't feel anything. And that was, like, the most, weight off my shoulders. I also have a boyfriend, so I shouldn't feel anything, but I'm just being real that, like, sometimes it does bring up a weird, like, oh, that was icky, like, tingling feeling of, like, am I confused or am I just having flashbacks?
So you sound like you did it just to kind of, is like a barometer of where you really were?
Well, maybe, but the other piece of that is just
this is good.
I'm getting red right now. No, I did it more so because I feel like he had been through a lot, and I just wanted to like make sure he knew that, like, although we've been through a lot, we've had our differences, we don't communicate anymore, I'm not leaving him in the dust. Like, if you needed me really truly, if something were to like terrible happen, like, you could talk to me. I mean, we talked for 6 years.
You don't think he knows that?
Uh-oh.
I was gonna say, I like his
I
reaction.
Don't know. I just felt bad because he always wishes me a happy birthday too. That's another layer of it.
Sure. I mean, I get it. Like, a lot of people have. Shit. I have. It's just generally not what we say it's for.
I'm literally here. Just let me lay down to rest now. Like, literally,
I'm down for the count.
Let me pass away for a second here. We'll talk about your book, but I have to ask. Obviously, we gave you the little lowdown, the bachelor, all the things, right? Like, being, we were talking about this right before the podcast. You're from the Midwest. We're from the Midwest. Going on like a our listeners from the Midwest, a lot of them scattered all over, but like nobody gets the, like, if you're from the Midwest, it's so small town. Going on The Bachelor, was that like a shock to your family / everybody in the area? Or did you not worry about that?
Like, people are even judging us for having a podcast and talking about vaginas type of shit. So we're curious.
I bet. I didn't really care. Yeah, I mean, I'm thankful. I have a very supporting and loving family. I think they were fascinated by it. Thankfully for me, like, I come from a family where there's 10 kids. And
I heard that.
My parents just had other things going on than to worry about their adult son doing this kind of silly thing. So thankfully, I didn't get a lot of, it was just generally like curiosity, concern, and support from my immediate family. Yeah, I mean, like, generally, you know, when you go home, people can get weird around you. You know, in the Midwest, they definitely, there's a more wholesome, you know, vibe to it all. So, but yeah. It didn't really, yeah. You guys will be fine, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you're past The Bachelor now. You are happily in a relationship. And if I remember correctly, didn't your girlfriend slide into your DMs? Is that how that worked?
She did, yeah.
I love that.
What was her, like, plan of attack? Like, how'd she do it?
She just sent me a picture of myself from my feed and then complimented me on the picture.
What was the compliment?
That's cute.
I believe she said I was unreal.
That's kind of, honestly, that's so bro. Like, unreal. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel like we've gotten that DM before.
It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't. But that's kind of the point. It doesn't really matter.
But isn't it hilarious how we sit and craft messages, like, as we're, like, maybe dating, and we're like, oh, God, should I respond to the story? Like, what should I say? She just, like, balls to the wall, like, unreal. And then that was it. And you're like, ooh, my attention's captured.
And I mentioned this in the book, you know, social media is a visual platform. It's a tool. You got to use tools how they're meant to be used, you know. So, yeah, people want to know what you look like. So, you know, make sure it's pretty clear to tell what you look like and things like that. And you're right. You know, you don't have to be overly creative or funny. In fact, you should not try to be funny, or you should not try to be poetic. You just ask a question, let them know, literally just let them know you exist, and then see if they're interested. You know, you just got to keep it simple and keep it small, and just recognize that not everyone's going to be into you or things like that. But yeah, generally speaking, especially on social media, like, there has to be a level of interest from the physical point, you know, like.
Do you think social media has changed the way, like, we've all been dating?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, for sure. Like, the dating apps, like, I feel like everyone that I know that's on dating apps right now, like, all my girlfriends, they're struggling a lot trying to find someone that they genuinely connect with, because it's almost like there's just all these options. There's almost like too many options. And I feel like these guys that match with them, there's always someone else out there for these dudes, and no one is like settling down, I feel like. So what would you be your advice for someone using dating apps trying to actually get in a serious relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just gotta self-police, you know? You gotta, you know, my book's all about setting expectations and boundaries. So, like, I would set expectations and boundaries with yourself around, like, what is your goal in a dating app, first off? Because a lot of times you can just use it as a time waster, you know?
Or validation.
Yeah, so I think you have to have you have to do it with intentions. And you, more than anything, you just have to, like, self-police, right? Like, if you're dating to actually meet someone, then you will limit your conversations you're having at any given point of time. You know, you will try to get off the apps and into, like, real conversations, whether that's on a date or like a Zoom call or a FaceTime or things like that. But yeah, it can be challenging because, to your point, like, whether you're a man or a woman, like, it's nowadays, you know, back in the day, you know, when I was in college, it was just like, you know, that was like really before MySpace and Facebook and social media and dating apps. And it was just like, you know, if you just you'd meet someone, if you had a feeling, you'd be like, we should date, you know? And I think nowadays when you're younger, you still have that. But as we get older and we have to, like, one relationship we get out of, you know, and then we get back out there, and it's nice to, like, finally, you know, meet people that you know are single. I remember being like, I just wish I knew who was single, you know, so I could know who's available. And now you have all these people who are single, and it's just like, well, you want to make sure before we settle down with any one person, this is the most perfect person in the world for us. And until we know that they're perfect, we all want to hedge our bets by like having our feelers out there and, you know, not,
I was going to say that because a lot of women
have been dating around and things like that. And,
you know, a lot of girlfriends, I was just going to say, have like, and I'm only saying girlfriends because that's who I'm talking to, have like, well, it doesn't really matter that this one ended because I've got like 4 in the docket, like in my like Hinge DMs.
On the
but
roster.
It's also like, how long have they been in the Hinge DMs? Like a month, 2 months that you've just been like randomly texting the screen person back and forth, not getting to the point. Like, let's move it along.
Lots
like,
of back and forth.
Let's get to the point. If you actually want the genuine relationship, put in the effort to like get it moving.
The analogy I always use all the time is browsing Netflix and watching the previews for like 45. Now it's just like we're all looking for the perfect preview to guarantee that we're going to love this movie or show. And sometimes we just have to like start the movie. See, you know,
that's why I love your idea of the Zoom dates. I've actually done this before and I wish I would have done it more when I was dating because it was so effective and efficient. So how can you take like these matches on the dating apps? Like why would you recommend a Zoom date, I guess?
Why would I recommend a Zoom date? Well, for a lot of people, for one, text messaging total strangers is a giant waste of everyone's time. You don't know any of these people. I don't care what 5 pictures they picked in their bio or, you know, how clever their, you know, their bio is and how much they like to laugh or like to travel or like food or whatever, whatever it says. You know, like people's, you know, like I've never met you ladies, right? Immediately, I know your voices now, your sense of humor, your body language, how you're like laughing or not laughing, and things like that. And that's just building a rapport. And how do you tell jokes over text messages and things like that? And usually, what are these messages? Like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Nothing. Hanging out with some friends. Oh, we should get together sometime. Sounds good. And then like nothing happens, right? And then for, you know, if you're a guy, you know, and like if you're traditional and kind of dating, you're like, you know, you want to be the guy who wants to pay for the first date, that can get be expensive for women out there who, you know, like safety is a concern, you know, like you're just meeting all these strange dudes, you know, like, so I just think you can figure out a lot. You can kind of weed things out a lot faster, a lot safer and a lot more inexpensive by getting on a Zoom call for 15 minutes. You can literally make a Gmail account that's only for Zoom so that you don't have to give off any personal information. You don't have to give your number. I mean, certainly a FaceTime and like you can block them if it doesn't go well. But like if you want to make it super like, you know, safe and private, like you can literally just give them like a bullshit email address. But like I said, it weeds people out much faster. I mean, think if you're on dating apps, think of all like how many like conversations do you have that are going on that have been there, like you said, for weeks or months or things like that. And I get it too, right? Like, you know, you're just like, oh, do I really want to get ready? Do I really want to pick out a place to meet? Do I really want to sit in front of this stranger for the third date? Like all these past other dates were so exhausting. You got to, you know, whether it's you drive there, you get in an Uber, you know, if you're in the Midwest in the winter, it's freaking cold. You know, you don't want to go outside. Like there's all these reasons not to do it. But like, you know, this right here, you never know. You can log on and like it can go really well and you get a better sense of what they look like.
Are you saying we're on a date?
Pardon me?
Are you saying we're on a date?
With Megan in the background.
Hey, yeah.
No. We're,
you know what I'm saying? Like you could look back and you could be like, wow, like, your room's kind of messy. Like what's going on? You'd be like, oh, well, I'm having a rummage sale. You'd be like, oh, well, he's like a, you know.
Wanna meet up at my rummage sale?
You know, stuff like that. So it's just so much easier. And like literally if they're weird or whatever, you can just hang up.
I know. But I feel like it's a problem because a lot of people are seeking validation from a lot of people and maybe they're seeking it like comparing them to exes and they're not getting into a relationship because everything looks like a flag to them or like they, you know, they want to have someone on the back burner just in case. Like what advice do you have for somebody who's just like fighting off the old feelings of an ex and feels like there's nobody in front of them that they're is still like a good option.
Still caught up on the ex?
Yeah, caught up on the ex.
So advice for people who are still caught up on
their ex and they're like trying the dating apps out, but they're not like moving anything along. Like they're not moving the needle.
Well, first read chapter 10 of Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday. But then, yeah, I mean, if you're like, that's the thing. Like, listen, if you're having a hard time getting over your ex, chances are that you haven't changed your mindset, you know, because, you know, heartbreak is tough. And depending, like, for example, if it's a first heartbreak, well, then you have the burden of never having felt this before. You know, like the hard part of getting over your first love is you truly believe you won't, you know, because you don't know what you didn't know what it's like to fall in love. Now you don't know what it's like to feel heartbroken. And there's a genuine fear of ever getting over it. But first, you just have to have the confidence that you will. But just in general, I think just being mindful of, again, like, I think sometimes we will want to hold on to the pain because the pain is the only thing we have left of them, you know? But more importantly, I think if you just want to like an exercise, I talk about like being grateful versus hopeful, right? I know you want to make a list, you know, it's similar to like a pros and cons list or things you liked and didn't like. I put it in hopeful and grateful terms because I think it just is a little more eye-opening in terms of like hopeful, like, you know, like hope is a great thing when you're not in a relationship. Hoping to meet someone, you know, it's a great way to fantasize about your dreams and aspirations, especially in relationships. But in a relationship, hope is a sign of the things that you don't have. So if you are breaking up with someone, or maybe like know that the end is coming, and think about all the things you've hoped to, you want. I would hope they spend more time together with me. I always hoped that they would talk with me with more respect, or, you know, made me feel like a priority. And you start listing all the things that you hoped in that relationship. And my guess is that list will be pretty long. And that exercise will tell you like how they actually made you feel, because I think the challenge sometimes, there's my dog. The challenge sometimes is I don't think we're actually thinking about the feelings that people make us feel. I think we will just say, well, I feel something, especially when we meet someone.
That's so helpful.
Yeah. Wow. And all half the time too, like I remember, you know, when I got cheated on by my then fiance, I felt like embarrassment and frustration, you know, like I felt ashamed, you know, and granted I was heartbroken over the relationship. When I look back and reflect now on my state of mind, most of my pain was focused around like the fact that she cheated on me. Right. And it wasn't really about her or what I lost. It wasn't like, oh, I lost this person who made me feel good all the time. I lost this person who we laughed all the time. In fact, we didn't even like get along. We weren't even compatible. But I was so heartbroken over the situation because I focused on the fact, you know, that she did this thing, or I couldn't have the relationship anymore. Or, you know, usually when relationships end, we will go back and remind ourselves of all the promises we made to one another about how that relationship was going to play out. And then we will beat ourselves up and things like that. So those little things that we do in our head will only make it worse. But I think we need to start focusing on, you know, how did they actually make us feel? What was our state of mind when we were in the relationship? Like, were we more confused and frustrated than happy, you know, and things like that? And I think when you start actually thinking about that, I think it becomes a little easier to realize that maybe this relationship, as much as you missed it or didn't want it to end, ended for maybe a good reason. And you can then start hoping about the type of feelings you want in your next relationship. Because sometimes we just want to search. I was talking to a girl, a friend last night at a party, and she talked about how she hadn't dated for, you know, she was a late bloomer in dating. And then she finally met a guy, and she realized now that it wasn't like about her like wanting a guy. Well, I mean, she wanted a date, but it was just like the feeling of someone liking her, the feeling of someone validating her. It didn't even matter what it was. It's just she wanted to feel that feeling. And I think sometimes we're chasing feelings rather than people. And then sometimes when you just have people, we're not paying attention to the feelings they actually make us feel. So I think if we can just get more mindful about that and slow down and actually process those things, it can be a little easier. If that any of that makes sense.
No, it does. No, it's totally
so helpful.
Does.
I like that a lot.
Very helpful. And it reminds me of like the toxic love versus like actual love, and like the roller coaster of for me, like I would always look back and be like, oh, remember those good times? But I'd burn out the bad times that we had over.
Forget
and over.
All that, the shitty shit that happens. Yeah,
the yeah. cycle of the dip uh-huh. and then the, oh my God, the love bombing or whatever mm-hmm. it's called. Then the dip again. And then, oh, yep. And then
but he got me flowers.
Yeah. And then he ended up cheating. Like yeah. same situation, right? And
yeah.
like, what would you say to somebody when they're comparing their toxic love to their real love? Like, what should they look for? Like what's past that?
I just call it toxic stimulation, not toxic love. I think you got to remember that our brain prefers pain to boredom.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just had a
mic drop. Like, oh, that's okay. sick. I've never thought about that.
Our brain loves to be stimulated.
Uh-huh.
Whatever
true.
That stimulation is. And boredom is the thing it hates the most, right? So it'll seek out feeling something rather than nothing at all.
It's probably why my brain loves anxiety.
That's what I was going
to
say.
My brain loves anxiety more than boredom. It's like, let's go.
It's something, okay. it's something to do. Yeah. It's something to do. So I just think, you know, yeah. So if you're just mindful of that and knowing that, like, you know, that you don't get addicted to the fight and in the making up, you know, and again, just everyone's different, right? You're like every relationship has its fights, its conflicts, right? But I think it's always good to also check in with yourself and your relationships. Like, how have I been feeling over the past month in this relationship? How this person made me feel? And it doesn't mean break up. Sometimes you just have to sit down and say, hey, I think we just check in with one another. And I've been feeling this certain way for a period of time. Can we talk about it? You know, stuff like that. But yeah, we can get addicted to the roller coaster and the ups and downs because the highs are fun. You know, it's fun to make up with someone and feel like that sense of connection, but it's not sustainable and it wears us out and things like that. So, I wouldn't call it toxic love. It's more toxic stimulation and
much, but I like that term a lot.
I like that more. I've just only heard toxic right? love. Yeah.
So
you had a question.
Yeah. So I was just going to say, we talked a lot about like being in relationship. We do have a lot of listeners that are like college age that go to the U of M. And I guess my question for you is, let's say they have moved on from their ex or looking for a new relationship. How do you have like easy signs to identify a fuckboy or a player?
Chapter two.
I was going to say, why don't you
I
rattle?
I do know it's probably in the book because I did read it, but can you just rattle a few for us?
Well, inconsistent would be the number one thing, you know? And I'm just a big believer nowadays, especially for people in college, right? Like the Gen Zs of the world now, I think honestly, everyone is a fuckboy. And I say that because nowadays everyone's participating in hookup culture, right? And to be a fuckboy essentially is to be in a physical relationship with someone, right? Where one person is even slightly more into the other, you know? And that happens all the time.
Happens every time, basically, I think.
Right? And so all it takes is to feel like you've been fuckboyed is to have, you know, you're hooking up, you're having sex, which can be very personal and intimate. And the other person's kind of like, I don't know, a non-committal. And all of a sudden you just feel kind of like fuckboyed, right? And so... I think we just have to be mindful of how people prioritize us, how consistent they are. When we're excited about things, we're very consistent with it. We want to see them. We want to enjoy them over and over. Like, we don't take breaks. Like, none of us are patient people. Like, we're just, some of us are better than others. And when we get excited, we want more of the things we get excited about. And we make those things a priority. And so if someone's just inconsistent with you and kind of like, you know, well, let's hang out together in the future. Well, what do you mean the future? Or someday, you know, things like that. People who are excited will make plans. They'll reach out. Even non-planners will make plans when they're excited. So if you are really excited about someone and if you are interested or are hooking up with them and they're not being consistent, you are definitely falling for a fuckboy.
Do you believe, because we've talked about this on the podcast before, do you believe the saying, if he wanted to, he would?
To a certain degree, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you can certainly go back and like, well, what about this or what about that? Yeah. There are exceptions to every rule, but yes. Okay. I the only thing adjustment I would say, if they wanted to, they would. You know, like, yeah. Men and women are very similar in that regard too. You know, that's why I say, like, I think fuckboys can be men and women now. Like, we're becoming more similar in terms of how we go about and date, you know, like you women refer to like your women friends having rosters now. And that was something like 10 years ago, only men seemed to talk about. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if they generally speaking, if they wanted to, they would, they're not scared. They're just not sure if you're the best thing they can get because you know, there's 10 other people on dating apps and things like that, or, you know, but excited people, interested people will make you a priority. They'll be consistent. They'll show up. They'll follow through. And that's not to say that on a first date, you have to like expect them to plan these extravagant dates or, you know, immediately be super consistent, you know, like, because it takes time to get to know someone. But the point is, it should always grow. It should always progress. It shouldn't become less consistent. You know, you shouldn't be made to feel like less of a priority. It should be a slow build, you know, and there should be some progress and things like that. So generally I would say yes, but you know, there's always exceptions to every rule.
There's always exceptions for everything. Well, okay. This is exciting because we had listeners write in. Kind of like how you do on your Monday nights or whatever when you're
office
asking
hours.
People. Office hours. And we had them write in with their situations to get your feedback and our feedback live. So we have a few
question
on our screen that we're going to read off to you. Okay, sound good?
Let's go.
Ready to roll? Okay, first one. My boyfriend and I have been together for over 5 years, since we were 22 years old. I feel like I'm growing professionally, spiritually, and he's still the same minimal wage job, not taking his future seriously. I love him. He is so good to me in so many ways, but we getting older and I'm starting to feel insecure about our relationship, financially insecure. I'm beginning to be irritable. I'm shutting down. And frankly, his chill boy attitude is pissing me the fuck off. What do I do?
Well, I guess my first question, if she was calling in, I'd ask her, have you talked to him about this? You know? You'd be surprised. Half the people I ask that question to, they're like, no. And I'm like, well, try that. You know, like, again, I don't think, I talk about this in my book too, but so many of us make the mistake of deciding we like someone or deciding we're in love and then like stop checking in.
Checking in with yourself, you mean? Like,
or them.
Yeah,
or with them, or like, mm-hmm. like still learning about people. We're constantly changing as people. You're a different, you're both different than you were a year ago. You're both different than you were 6 months ago. How much? I don't know, but you are different. You've grown. You've met new people. You've learned different things. And I think you just have to check in with each other about like, you know, how's it like, it's, you know, and we don't want to do that because oftentimes when we check in, we're afraid of learning something we want to hear, you know, because we like to think that once we're in a relationship and we say the words, I love you, that somehow those words are going to make us work. It's going to be us saying those words. It's going to somehow carry us through whatever conflict or challenges we have. And because we said, I love you way back when 5 years ago, that's all we really need to do. But the truth is we always have to like check in with each other, see how we have to express our frustrations. We have to maybe bring up new expectations in a relationship because our desires might change. And that would be step one. And this might be a sad case of maybe her non-negotiables have changed. You know, after 5 years, she could be an entirely different person than she was when she first met her boyfriend. And I'm sure she fell in love with a lot of aspects and maybe he's really nice, but maybe at the end of the day, she wants more from a partner, or maybe not, you know, maybe she just needs to sit down and maybe he's just not feeling his best self, or maybe he's lost some confidence and maybe he could use her help. You know, I don't know, but I definitely recommend her asking about it. It's not going to fix itself. And unless she either, you know, checks in and gets back on the same page with her boyfriend and figures out how she can not feel that way, or maybe she just realizes, well, it was a good 5 year run. Maybe they're just not as compatible as they used to be. And that's entirely possible. But like these feelings of resentment and frustration aren't going to go anywhere. And she definitely needs to talk to him. And maybe have some honest conversations with herself about what her really, how does she want to feel in her relationships? What expectations does she have in herself in her relationship? Does she want to be the primary caregiver financially? Does she want to be more of a mutual thing? You know, does she want her partner to be the primary?
He just wants to be a chill boy.
Chill boy.
Yeah. So, you know, if maybe she doesn't sound like she wants a chill boy. Yeah. So like, if he's going to be a chill boy, then there's someone else who might like that. But we have to like come to, you know, the less we check in with each other, the more likely we are to be in a relationship and feel like we've grown apart. And I would be willing to bet this person hasn't checked in with her partner all that much over the past 5 years. And she's now realizing how different they are and how different their priorities are.
Yeah. Wow. I really like that. The checking in thing is a great way to kind of stay on top of your relationship. So, okay, next question. Someone wrote it and said, what's the best way to navigate my relationship when me and my partner's love languages are not the same?
I mean, they're usually not the same. That's the thing. But most people confuse, like, you know, there's your love language, how you receive love, and then there's how your partner receives love. And they both need to be a priority for both people. So that's step one. So they're usually not the same. But you need to want to make your partner feel loved, and your partner needs to want to make you feel loved. And that's a conversation that should usually happen early in relationships, because relationships are about sacrifice. Like, they're not about, you know, finding the perfect person who loves everything you like all the time and everyone's happy. And it's just like, oh, me too. Like, I don't have to compromise. Like, so you're, you know, ideally there's some matches there. Hopefully you're not dating someone where to make them feel love makes you like want to like kill yourself, or, you know, yourself, get that out. But, but you know what I'm saying? Like, just like, it's like painful to like, oh, I don't want to touch you, you know, like something like that. But you just have to be willing to understand what your partner loves and want to meet those expectations and make and feel like they, it's just as much a priority. And that's the thing. It's just like, at the end of the day, if you know when your partner wants to make you a priority, and you know when you're in a relationship where you say to someone, hey, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm frustrated, whatever, and instead of getting defensive, it's more like, well, how can I not make you feel that way? What can I do to make you feel good? Like, when you're in a loving relationship, you want to go out of your way to make your partner feel good. You're not just trying to feel good yourself. So it's just really,
yeah. Cause it is kind of narcissistic, though, like patterns people have where they're just like, well, geez, I'm sorry. I've like had a bad day. Sorry, I was making you feel that way. It's like, okay, I'm actually talking about me right now. Like, trying to figure out how we can teamwork this, you know, to make it better. But I like,
you know, that. I think, you know, in fights, it's something Natalie and I work on a lot too. But like, I think you got to be, when you're in conflict with our partners, right? Like, it's just very easy. It's so easy. You know, and we all do this, right? We don't want to get into fights, you know, but you're like, you're bothered by something. So you usually start that conversation and you'll say, hey, like, listen, I'm a little upset right now because like you're doing something, you know, and can we talk about it? But immediately you've triggered that person by saying, I'm upset and it's your fault.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, the feeling I felt it in my chest of like, uh-oh, here we go. Yeah.
But instead, you know, like what I try to do too is this, I'll just say, hey, I'm feeling a little insecure about this. And I don't even know why, but I'd love for us to talk about it and see if we can figure this out
together.
Because I don't want to feel this way. And I know you don't want me to feel this way. And I wouldn't want you to feel this way. So could we do this together? Yeah. And yeah. So immediately you're a lot less triggered. You're a lot less like defensive. Again, it doesn't work for everyone, but if you say that stuff and you're with someone, it still gets contentious, then, you know, maybe you're with someone who's, you know, not really good at communication, but
well, that's a whole nother level of,
you can avoid a lot of conflict by just using language like we and us rather than you and I. And that will go a long way.
I like that a lot. Well, okay. Last one, because I know we got to wrap up soon, but speaking of like kind of the overthinking piece of that, this person said, I struggle a lot with overthinking, anxiety, and self-sabotage when I start to like someone. How do I get out of my own head and not fuck it up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an overthinker too. I mean, part of it is just like you have to be willing to fail. You have to be willing to get your heart broken or be disappointed. That's the big step, right? Like, you can't avoid disappointment in relationships. There's no guarantees, especially now more than ever, you know? But if you're just willing to be honest with yourself first, set expectations with other people, well, set boundaries with yourself, set expectations with other people and communicate those, you have a better chance of it working than not working out. And just know that if it doesn't work out, you'll probably learn something from it. There's always other people for you to enjoy. There's a lot of people in this world you can be compatible with. But if you don't try, you're never going to find it. So be vulnerable, connect with people, be open to people getting to know you, be open to disappointing people. None of it's the end of the world. And I say that as someone who's often felt like it was the end of the world when relationships ended, but I promise you, you'll survive it. And just take a chance, because the good thing, not to sound corny, but like of all the things about love and dating and relationships that suck and are hard and are frustrating, if you're lucky enough to find a good relationship, it really makes it all worthwhile. And
absolutely,
you just have to be willing to go through this shit, you know, sometimes to find it.
I completely agree.
Oh, that was good. I'm like, wrap it up. Like, I love that.
I feel like the self-sabotage thing is so relatable for so many people. Absolutely. And the only thing I would add is that build your confidence up a little bit. Like, have faith that you're also seeing if this person, likes you, but you, if you like the person back, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a dual thing. It's not like
you're not just performing.
You're not performing for them. Yeah. You're not trying to, you know, just make them be impressed and like hope it works.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, it's mutual.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the first, I'd say the first three dates should primarily be focused on whether you are interested in them at all.
Versus like, oh, I hope he likes me. Cause how many times do you hear that? Like,
I mean, I know that's not realistic to not care at all, but like, you really should be primarily focused on there. I mean, we have, you don't, these are strangers.
Yeah.
So stop telling them your personal secrets and stop like opening up in just hopes that they think you're interesting. Like, there is so much to learn about these people you're going on dates with. So ask them questions. And if you get excited, just say, tell yourself, I'm excited, but now I have so much more to learn, you know?
Ooh.
And just remind yourself of that. And that it can be fun too. Even in relationships. I think sometimes people always ask me, how do you keep relationships? You know, how do you keep the spark, or how do you keep things exciting? Well, like, stop assuming you know everything about your partner. Mm-hmm. You know, find out about what's interested them lately. What have they thought about them? What's something in the past couple of weeks that worried them or they got insecure about? Because it's amazing how many times in relationships we're not having conversations like that. That we'll have these even surface level conversations like, well, how was your day? Well, how was your day with the people we've been dating for 5 or 6 years? And we don't often talk about things that worry us or frighten us or make us insecure with our partners or excite us and things like that. And there's a lot to learn within those conversations.
You got to start communicating. You just got to start asking questions, make it, start practicing. And also don't text your ex happy birthday.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Even though Nick still did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate
you. It was a pleasure talking with you ladies.
That was fun actually. Like, people are going to
your success.
Yeah, I would call it a success too. And I'm like, I'm hyped that you're just a Midwesterner too. I'm like, it just makes me feel
so
like,
cool.
I'm like, yes.
So that was all of we usually do like a listener straight canon moment, but this week we did listener advice questions. So thank you guys if you wrote in and we got Nick's advice. Nick, we also do something that's called straight candid moments. It's a moment that makes us like more humble. For example, Sid shits her pants sometimes.
Sometimes, not always. What? Nothing happened. What? Go ahead. Keep going.
It's just like an embarrassing moment. Do you have anything at the top of your head that you want to share with our audience that makes you more human, more humble? Because you're Nick Vile, and I feel like you don't shit your pants.
He shits his pants.
I try not to, that's for sure.
I just had to spice it up at the end here and see how you reacted. So share if you have anything. Let's hear it.
Something that makes you more humble. I mean,
embarrassing. Maybe you spilled your hot coffee all over your face this morning, or you, what's another, a funny sex story, or a horrible.
I mean, I'm a very aloof, absent-minded person at times. So I can spend 20 minutes looking for something that's in my pocket.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's perfect. There you go. Like your phone.
That's always embarrassing. One time, I'll end with this too, but you know, dating can be very fatiguing. And I think we have to remember that we have all been someone's bad date. So like, let's just speak a little gracious and kind to people we're on dates with. And if it doesn't go well, it's fine. Like but when we're on dates sometimes, cause you know, nowadays you're out there, you're hustling, you're dating. Sometimes you're like, I want to go out and date. So you know, you're on your fourth coffee date of the week. And it's just like the same goddamn conversations. And so by the end, you realize that maybe you weren't your best self. Maybe you weren't asking those questions, or maybe you just felt like, oh, it's the same conversations, and you just seem disengaged and things like that. And the person who's across from you is just like, this person's a prick. But this is all to say, when I first moved to LA, I didn't really know anyone. And I was going on a lot of coffee dates, like Raya. I don't know if you're familiar.
Oh, yeah, Raya.
I had hopped on Rye. It was early, and I didn't really know anyone. So I was just going on a ton of coffee dates. I was just trying to meet people. And then I ended up like 3 weeks later going to a party with a girl who I had a coffee date with, but I didn't recognize her.
This is something I would do. Yep.
It was a nightmare.
That's so awkward.
Because it was like I came as a guest to it as a friend, so she had more friends there than I did. And it was just like, I think I had been like on 4 or 5 dates that week. And it was just like, I was just like so tired of like dating. And I had like took a time out.
Was
and
she
like,
pissed?
Yeah. And I'm like bad with faces too. Because
would
like,
you say nice to meet you? Did you say nice to meet you? And she was like, what?
Yeah, 100%. She's like, it was
so
a nightmare.
Good.
kidding.
So very, very embarrassing.
I've been there though. I really have.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's just a reminder. Like, and for me, I was really trying to be outgoing and meet people. I overextended myself. I just wasn't my best self, and I made a fool of myself.
I've never done that.
You know, we're all trying out there, and so that's not to make excuses for people who are rude or inconsiderate on dates. But just because someone's a little nervous or not super conversational, you know, when you're worried why they're not asking you all these questions, they're pissed that you're not paying attention to what they're saying, type of thing. So just remember that on dates, you know, and. Ooh. If you're nervous, try to just ask questions. And if they're not asking questions back, just ask follow-up questions and things like that. And if it wasn't a vibe, just don't go on another date. But, like, you know, trust me when I say it, we've all been someone's bad date.
You just ended that on the perfect note.
Clap, clap, snap, snap.
We appreciate you being here. And I know you got a cruise, you got a jet, you're a busy guy. But real quick, tell everybody where they can grab your book. Obviously, we know your name is...
Go to vilefiles.com. You can get my book. There's links for everything, whether it's Amazon, if you want to support like indie bookstores, like bookshop.org or IndieBound, they'll ship it to you from an independent bookstore, so you're supporting independent bookstores. Audiobook, it's on Audible. So, you know, if you're in the Canada or UK, wherever, I don't know how broad your audience is, but...
They are there. They've got their, hey, Canada crew, your shout out. We got them all over now. But
there you go. And yeah, there's links to all different ways you can get the book. And then check us out, The Vile Files, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
I love it. Thank you for being here. Nick. We appreciate
Ladies,
you.
Ladies, thanks so much. Congrats on your success.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody listening at Straight Candid Podcasts and Instagram, TikTok, all the places. As always, follow, like, subscribe to all the things at Candid Sid.
I'm at Candid Soph. And last reminder to click the link in our bio because we have a Best Christmas Ever donation happening right now. So please consider clicking that link in bio and donating. Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you.
Bye.
Bye, Nick.
Bye-bye.
Bye, you guys. Thank you.
Wait, good.
Awesome job. Thanks so much, Nick.
Thank you.
That went well, you guys. That was so helpful. I learned a lot, actually.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.